Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
Our message today will come from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And the text is in one verse, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But the Apostle Paul began this chapter in verse 1 by saying, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory." It's not expedient for me to glory. He said, "I don't want to glory in myself." That's how he started this chapter. "I don't want to glory in anything that pertains to me." But he said, "I will tell you what the Lord has done for me and in me. I don't want to glory in myself, but I'll tell you what the Lord has done for me. I'll tell you how great things the Lord has done for me." That's all any man can say, any child of God can say. It's how great things the Lord has done for me. This is the chapter where the Apostle Paul said, "I was caught up to the third heaven. God brought me up into the third heaven." Paradise, he called it. He said, I saw paradise. And he said, "God spoke to me directly." The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Paul directly. And he said, "I heard words. I heard things that are not possible for a man's mouth to utter. I can't repeat to you what I heard while I was there." Directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke to me directly. And he said, "Lest I should be lifted up with pride over all of the revelations that were given to me, all of these visions and revelations that God gave to me, lest I should be lifted up with pride over that," he said, "I received a thorn in the flesh." And he said, "I asked the Lord to take that away from me 3 times, but the Lord would not do it. All 3 times, his answer to me was, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient.'" And Paul said, "Through that I have now learned, through God teaching me that, telling me that through His Word, I have now learned," the end of verse 10 says, "that when I am weak, then am I strong." That's what he said. That was what God taught him through all of this. All of that glorious work that God did for him, bringing him up into paradise and then giving him a thorn in the flesh. He said, "Now I see that when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I'm forced to find no confidence in myself." How much confidence do you think that it would bring to the flesh if God caught us up into heaven, if we went to heaven for a while and revealed mysteries to us and revelations? How much confidence do you think that would create in the flesh? Well, Paul said, I have learned. "That when I find no confidence in myself, when I find no confidence in my flesh, when I find myself in a place where I cannot do anything but cry out to the Lord for help, I now realize that that is Him loving me, lovingly placing me in the strongest spiritual state that I could possibly be in. I am never in a stronger spiritual state than when I'm right there. Confidence in the flesh. This is an important thing to learn. Paul learned it, and maybe God will teach it to us too. Confidence in the flesh is the height of spiritual weakness. Confidence in the flesh. It's the height of spiritual weakness. And absolutely no confidence in the flesh is the height of spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. That's why he said in verse 11, this is our text, he said, I am become a fool in glorying. I don't like talking about my flesh. That's what he's saying. He said, you have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles. God gave me the same faith that he's given them. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. God gave me the same grace that he gave to them. God gave me the same message that he gave to them. This is what he said that I hope God will reveal to us and let us enter into and cause us to say right along with him. He said at the end of verse 11, though I be nothing. God did all this for me. Caught me up to paradise. Revealed all these things to me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. He said, I'm not a whit behind the chief apostles. I have the same things. Though I be nothing. That's how he ends it all. Though I be nothing. All of these wonderful things. Though I be nothing. Now that catches my attention. The word nothing. That catches my attention. Through that word, we're going to look at that word in the Scripture. Through the Scriptures, I want us to see five things. I'd like for us to see what man is. What man truly is. I'd like for us to see what the end of man is. What does man have in store for him? I'd like for us to see what the only hope for man is. I'd like for us to see what the good news for man is. And I'd like for us to see what a redeemed man's cry in response is. All right, let's see what man is. Turn with me, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah 40, verse 17 says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Man puts such a high value on himself. He puts such a high value on himself. But what is man really? All of mankind. What man believes to be the best man on earth. What is man really? Here's the answer. Nothing. Nothing. Verse 15 right here in Isaiah 40. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. The nations, they're just a drop of a bucket. And are counted as the small dust of the balance. Just that leftover dust on the scales that doesn't even weigh anything. Behold, he taketh up the isles, the islands, as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. Everyone is so proud of those trees of Lebanon. He said, they're not even sufficient to burn. Nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. We would have a right view of ourselves before God if we could ever just see our nothingness, if we could ever enter into what nothings we are, we would start to have a right view of ourselves before God. Verse 23, right here in Isaiah 40. That bringeth the princes to nothing. All of the princes of this earth, he said, they're nothing. He went on to say in verse 23, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. They're nothing. David said in Psalm 39, my age is nothing. Job said, we know nothing. Nebuchadnezzar cried, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's what man is. Nothing. Nothing. All right, well, if man is nothing, what is the end of man? What does he have waiting on him? If man is nothing, and if man has nothing, if man counts for nothing, if there's nothing good in him, nothing good about him, nothing of any worth, nothing of any value, if his righteousness is nothing, Scripture says all our righteousnesses are filthy rags, nothing. If his works are nothing, then what is the end of man? Well, over in Matthew chapter 5, it says in Matthew 5, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. If something that was created to be good loses that goodness, if it was created with worth and with value, but it loses it all, if it becomes ruined, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And that's man. That's man. That is the end of man. That is the end of man. That's what man has waiting on him. Because of man's fall into sin, because man lost it all, he became nothing. He became nothing through the fall of sin. And that's the only end that man has waiting for him. Nothing. Nothing. Man is going to meet God at all times, every day. Men and women are going to meet God. He says, no more. Time on this earth is done. And he takes the life, and that life goes and stands before him. And at that moment, every soul who goes without Christ realizes, I have nothing. I'm standing here with nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer God. I have nothing that he finds to be a sweet savor to him. And then they hear him say, and they will hear him say, cast him or her out to be trodden underfoot. Cast him out. Our Lord illustrated this with a fig tree. Fig leaves represent man's works. Whenever you read the scripture and you come across verses that talk about fig leaves, they spiritually represent man's own works, man's own righteousness that he tries to earn before God. That's what Adam and Eve covered themselves with. They sinned against God, and they tried to cover themselves with their own works, fig leaves. And if you look at Matthew chapter 21, our Lord illustrated that very thing in verse 19, Matthew 21, verse 19. When he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. No fruit. Nothing good produced. Only fig leaves. And he said unto the tree, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. and presently the fig tree withered away. As man stands with his own works before God, he stands there with nothing. He's so proud of his own little tree that he has and his leaves, but there's no good fruit on it. No good fruit. And every man or woman who stands that way will be withered away. All right, well, is there any hope for man? Does man have any hope? If man is nothing and can produce nothing, has nothing of his own, and his end is nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot, what is the only hope that a man or a woman has? John chapter 6, if you look with me at John 6, it says in verse 39, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me." Christ is speaking. He said, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." He said, that's the Father's will of every soul he gave to me. His will is that I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All of our hope lies in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are at the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our hope is in his will and in his work. Our hope is completely dependent on him. Totally. Totally dependent on him. Not losing us. That's our hope. That's my only hope, is that he won't lose me. The Father gave me to him and he won't lose me. That's my hope. That he'll lose nothing, but he'll raise all of his people up at the last day. Our only hope is that he would condescend and make himself to be of no reputation. Do you know that's what the Scripture says about Christ? He made himself to be of no reputation. Nothing. Nothing. Our hope is that he would make himself to be of no reputation, stand in our place, take what we deserve. Because we truly are nothing. And we're good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot. Because of that, our only hope is that he made himself to be nothing for us, and caused himself to be trodden underfoot, trodden under the foot of God's wrath for us in our place. That's our only hope. Well, did he? Our hope is that he would do that for us. Did he? Is there any good news for a man who is nothing and is owed nothing and outside of this one hope has nothing? Is there any good news for a man like that? Well, in Mark chapter 14, it says in Mark 14, verse 60, "The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing?" Our Lord stood on trial, and he was being questioned. And the high priest said, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. He answered nothing. In Mark 15, verse 3 says, "The chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Pilate said to him, "They're calling you a liar. They're calling you a blasphemer. They're calling you an enemy of God. You're about to die for this. Pilate believed he was an innocent man, and Pilate said, you better listen to me. You're about to die for this. You're about to die for sins that you did not commit. The sins of others are being laid on you. This is your only chance. You better speak up. You better defend yourself. This is your only chance to cast all those sins away from you and let those who committed them die in their own sins. You better speak up. Say the word, and the ones who this judgment belongs to, they'll receive it on themselves. And he held his peace and answered nothing. Nothing. That's the good news. What is man? Nothing. What is the end of man? He's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. What is the only hope for man? That every soul that the Father gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would lose nothing. What is the good news for man? It's that as Christ was standing there being tried in the sins of his people, accused of the very sins his own people committed, he answered nothing. He answered nothing. He was accused, he was judged, he was sentenced. And he took it all the way to the grave, to death, bearing the burden of his people. He held his peace and he answered nothing. He took it for them. Now, what is our response to that? What's a child of God's response to that? Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Above. Above. Verse 11 says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The same man, the Apostle Paul, the same man who said, I be nothing, said, Christ is all. I am nothing, and Christ is all. He is all my salvation. He is all my desire. He is all my hope. He is all my happiness. He's all my comfort. He's all my assurance. He's all my wisdom. He's all my righteousness. He's all my sanctification. He's all my redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ is all I need. He's all I need. Now, I want to end this message by telling you a story that a man named Charles Spurgeon gave, and it's so appropriate for this subject. I'm nothing and Christ is all. Charles Spurgeon gave this story titled The Huckster, and it's written in his old English language, but I believe this will be enjoyable to you. And this is his plea, and this is my plea. I pray this is all of ours. This man, Huckster Jack, was a poor, wicked fellow who had gone about from village to village swearing, drinking, huckstering, and perhaps pilfering. That means stealing. Some thought him half-witted, but the story would show his wind to be sound enough. He heard a poor woman sing somewhere, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. He remembered the words, and what was better, he felt their sense. And he kept on humming them to himself till God's good spirit engraved them on his heart. So he essayed to join himself unto the church. But the brethren looked suspiciously at him and inquired, what is your experience? He said he had no experience but this, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. The good elders very properly asked, "Are you converted? Have you been born again?" And Jack replied, "I do not know much about these things, but I do know and am sure of, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." They put him back for a while to try if he would grow in his knowledge, but he never went an inch beyond the first standard. He knew what he did know, and to that he held fast. "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all." Well, they must take him into the church. They could not well refuse a man with such a confession of faith. And when he was in the church, walking with the brethren, he was happier than the rest of them, at which they greatly marveled. And one said to him, "Brother Jack, don't you sometimes feel doubts and fears?" "Doubts?" he said. "What do you mean? I never doubt that I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, for I have daily proofs of it. And why should I doubt that Jesus Christ is my all in all? For he says he is, and I must believe him." "Ah, well," said one, "sometimes I enjoy good frames and feelings and feel very happy, and then I lose them and sink in spirit." Jack answered, "I never get lower than I am, for I'm down at the bottom, a poor sinner and nothing at all. I cannot get lower than that, can I? But I'm also at the top, for Jesus Christ is my all in all. I cannot get higher than that, can I?" They tried him many ways with their blessed experience, of which you and I have got cartloads, perhaps wagon loads. But he could not be drawn out of his one firm position. They tried him with their various attainments, depressions, anxieties, quibbles, and questions, but still the huckster would not budge. He had bought the truth and would not sell it. And so he stuck to, "I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all and in all." That's the response of every child of God. May God make that your response. May he make that my response. Till next week, the Lord bless his word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.